Welcome to Tracks Cultures. I'm Mike Piccinato, your host. This podcast unravels the intricacies of transitions across cultures. For those feeling the pull of change or supporting loved ones through it, this podcast is for you. We understand the uncertainty and excitement that come with such transitions, and together we'll explore how to adapt while maintaining community and belonging. Throughout our episodes, we'll draw on insights from the Cross-Cultural Transition Handbook by Dr. Stephen W. Jones. Whether you're moving to a new place or supporting someone who is, this podcast offers encouragement and connection. Enjoy the conversations as we navigate the challenges and joys of cross-cultural transitions together.
Well, Joel and Kate, welcome back for Season 2, Episode 8. And this is probably one of my favorite titles of all of the episodes that we're going to be recording. And the title is Don't Just Be Yourself.
That's a good one. I told Joel what the topic was and he laughed and was like, well, yeah.
Looking back at Stephen's book, it's a great chapter again. And in it, he just says one of the most ill-conceived recommendations that people receive before they're going out to a new place or transitioning across cultures is, hey, when you're over there, just be yourself.
I'm not doing that.
No, unless you want to know how much of what you do is because it's allowed in your culture, then just go be yourself. Yeah. And you'll find out. Yeah. Things are quite different
then,
in other places.
I pulled out all my clothes that I was going to get rid of, but like asked my friends to go through it at book club the other night. And I had this really cute canary yellow blouse. And my friend was like, why are you getting rid of this? And I'm like, because I'm not going to wear this color in Berlin. I'll probably wear a lot darker colors. And she was so offended and was like, you need to be yourself. You shouldn't be changing. And I'm like, yes and no. Yes and no on that. I was like, I'm not going to wear this blouse. It's cute, but it's too bright. So that's a little one.
I had an amazing yellow fleece.
One.
Completely sidetracked right now. I had this really cool yellow fleece about the same color as the wall behind you, Kate. And I brought it with me to Berlin, a really nice Columbia fleece. Wore it up to some outing somewhere, and all of a sudden I was just getting swarmed by little black bugs. And it turned out that my fleece was the same color as the wraps flower around, and I'm like,
funny.
Okay, I'm a giant flower. And so that was the end of my yellow fleece.
I got rid of two yellow jackets like that because I'm like, it's too bright. But now I don't want to be surrounded by bugs.
So double reason.
Yep.
I think because the way we talked about several weeks ago, this idea of what is culture. And so, Joel, like you were saying, hey, culture is the way we do stuff together. And if that's the definition, then of course it's inappropriate for us to just be ourselves when we show up into a different culture. And Joel, I'm sure you've seen this in your ministry with artists. And Kate, I'm sure you've seen this at the bank and then at church. There are situations where even in the U.S., we have to act differently when we're in different crowds because there's ways to be appropriate to the situation.
Absolutely. I was part of the original diversity and inclusion group at the bank. And one of our big goals was that everyone could be unapologetically themselves at work. And they would send out surveys every year, like, do you feel like you can be yourself here at the bank? And at first I was like, yes, I can, because I was just being a team player and fitting in. And then by the end of it, it's like, no, my unapologetic self wants to be employed. And so I am going to act differently at work than I am, like, just with my friends, and not like anything bad, but my customer service voice, my baby talk voice, basically, when someone yells at me because they something with their transaction, and I'll say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Let me see how I can fix this, and do anything, bend over backwards to make it right. But then at the gallery, when I'm more like myself at Project, some guy told me to do my job and get him a drink. And I just was like, get out. That. Yeah, I was like, get out. Get out now. And that was myself. I acted like myself. Yeah. And he was like, I know Joel. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm married to him. So get out. And he changed his tune. But yeah, it was like, I would never do that work because I want to be employed. But when it's like when I'm in my space and it's my world. Yeah.
And I think it's such a crazy thing even at a work situation to be completely yourself, because they also have all sorts of dress code rules or
correct
things that end up impeding that. So of course you can't be completely yourself.
Well, and and Joel was on that task force to change the dress code at the bank, and it did work. People were able to wear more casual clothes. Like, it was unnecessary for the call center to wear suits because they weren't customer facing. And Joel worked so hard to get at that. And people did feel better because they could be more like themselves. But let's be honest, nobody really wears their clothing at work.
See, when someone says, just be yourself, I know in my heart, I go, I don't think you really mean that. Like, I think you mean try to feel comfortable, but I wouldn't trust somebody that says, no, whatever you feel is okay or whatever, that doesn't sound like a good idea.
And 95% of the churches, 99% of the churches that we show up into when we're on tour, I wear long sleeve shirts because I know somebody's going to have a comment or it'll throw them off. I mean, we're in a lot of rural churches in Minnesota, yeah. And they'll turn off listening to what I'm saying because they'll see my tattoos. And so I went out with the pastor recently. And so the Sunday after we come back from council, he said, I expect you to wear short sleeve shirts and a pair of jeans and show up at my church and be yourself. And we'll see, right? I mean, he's saying that, but we'll see how that actually plays out in the congregation. And I think we just underestimate how much people expect us to fit certain roles in certain places.
Absolutely.
Sure, that's true. And then also, though, there's the opposite where you can do a lot to help, I don't know, to respect the way that other people do things too. Like you said, like wearing those sleeves, maybe you don't need to do it every single time because it is becoming a more acceptable thing. But at the same time, you're helping to keep people from being distracted, and so that they can hear what's actually important, which is the work you're doing and the chance to support it. Yeah.
If they run into me out on town later, if they see me walking around and my sleeves are rolled up, that's different. When I'm stepping into their environment where I know there are expectations, then there are certain ways that I'll behave. But when I'm in a different environment, then I don't feel that same need to.
Yeah. It was hard to remember in Germany. It was really hard to remember how loud we were in comparison to everyone else. It just in general, even just the level, I'm just sitting in the basement talking. The level at which I'm speaking right now is probably a little, I might be projecting a little too much for speaking out in public in Germany. It felt like we were just always being a little intrusive into everybody else's lives just by being loud Americans.
And there, it just depends on context, right? I mean, if you're in the tram, that's one thing. If you're playing soccer in a park or if we're just hanging out next to each other, that's something different.
Yeah. I think we might get to this later, but my adapting to where I'm at depends on what the focus is supposed to be. If I am at a conference that I am not the one that it's focused on, I will shrink myself and kind of blend into the background because I don't want to draw attention. If it's something that's more my passions, this is about me. I'm here for my own growth on something else that really pertains to my identity. I'll be more outspoken. I will be the first one to pray in a group just to get everyone going. But if it's not about me and not for me, I will do my best to adjust so I am not the center of attention. And I think that's going to be a good practice for me in Berlin because it is going to be so different than Nebraska. But I feel up for the challenge on that because I do that here anyway. I try to respect the people I'm around so that I'm not drawing attention to myself.
I think the challenge would be not to feel I've got to shrink myself so much because I'm uncomfortable and don't know how to adapt or how to adjust or who I am in this situation.
Sure. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah, this one, I guess I went to this singles night at church so I could hear the opinion of how the singles feel and how my friends feel in the church as a single. And it just wasn't my place to talk. It wasn't my place to speak up and here's what I think you should do. And so that is just sit back and observe, but also be a part of it and don't act like you're lurking. There's a happy balance when you're not trying to draw attention to yourself, but also pay attention and have other people see that you're there as an ally.
Some of the language that I've been hearing more recently from people is this idea of, I need to be able to be my authentic self. And this is kind of new language to me since I'm old, but it was some questions that I've gotten recently. Well, how do you go into a different culture and what do you bring along so that you're remaining true to being your authentic self? What do you guys think about that?
I had an initial reaction. It's not true across the board, but a lot of times when I hear language like I need to be my authentic self, that you might as well say it's a free country sort of thing. It sounds like you're engaging in something that is.
Can I pause you there as the one woman yeah. in the conversation? Women have always had to shrink themselves and make sure that we don't upset the balance. And then now we're feeling more empowered to say like, no, I can be me. Like you don't, it's your problem if you don't like how I'm acting.
It comes from a misogyny sort of a thing.
Yeah, it can a lot. It's just like, not to get too much into this, but at work, the DEI program, it was more for the minority of like, you get to be yourself. Like, don't let the man tell you how you have to act. And so I don't think you're dismissing it, but to like dismiss it as like, you're being selfish. It was like, minorities are finally feeling the freedom to say, this is actually who I am. And I'm not going to apologize for that.
That's totally cool. I love that. I always took it as I don't care. I'm being my authentic self, right? Like, this is who I am. Take it or leave it, like it or you know.
Yep.
That idea, I never really enjoyed.
There are probably dangers at the extremes, right? I mean, there's probably the danger at the extreme that you're talking about, Joel, where somebody says, my authentic self is so big that there's no room for me to be able to change or adapt or adjust in any situation.
Yeah, it's inflexible. Yeah.
And there's a danger on the other side of having people tell you that your authentic self is so small that you really don't have any voice to say how you're going to live or how you're going to be in this situation.
Yeah.
I think for me, where I'm wrestling with the idea is saying, well, when I come into a new culture, when I come into a new situation, what am I carrying as my authentic self that is so important to me that I'm unwilling to make adjustments if I need to? And so, again, just kind of thinking biblically, when Paul says, I can become all things to all people.
Right.
You know, is that because he had a very solid core authentic self? And the rest could be more flexible. And it's kind of the way I look at it. There was an authentic self for Paul mm-hmm. that said, because I know what my calling is, because I know who my Savior is, I can be really, really firm at this core and the rest doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Core is a good word too.
Yeah. How do you be solid at the core and wiggly at the edges, I guess is the question. And how big is that core when we're talking about authentic selves?
I'm going to shout out to Kent Sovine, the superintendent of the Mid-America District of the CMA. He said he starts every morning asking that the Holy Spirit fills him. He's like, not like it leaves, but just a reminder that who I am, this is who I am, and that's how I start my days. And I think that for us as Christians would have to be, if we're not in the Word, and if we're not like filled with the Holy Spirit, like and daily like acting on it, then the weekly things, that's the problem. Like my true authentic self should be who I am in Christ and the rest of it is fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really churchy answer, but like that, yeah, I can.
But it's the truth. Yeah.
And at the same time, I think it's important to also understand that there are parts of my identity, you know, yeah. And also I'm a third culture kid that was raised by a dad and mom who moved a lot because my dad was in the Air Force. Now that's not necessarily this unflexible identity, but it's also a reality of who I am. And I think we all have those, but that doesn't mean that when I show up in a cross-cultural situation that I need to behave as, well, my dad was in the military, as much as just being mm-hmm. able to understand, oh, I might bump into situations here where I have a completely different understanding of the world because of where I came from. But again, back to that, mm-hmm. my core identity is who I am in Christ. So I think,
now that you say that, we all have things that we're going to bring to the table that are just us. Like, the way I was raised is different the way that Joel was raised. Like, a silly example of that was our first Thanksgiving together. We had both families just come together and do it as one. And our parents are so different. And the way we were raised is so different that it was just like, we never wanted to do it again because everybody was uncomfortable. And because we just stuck to what we knew.
Insane.
Yeah.
It was too much. Like my parents are leftist hippies, and Kate's parents are conservative nationalists. And oh my goodness. Yeah. That was a lot.
I was wondering what word you're going to use there.
So have you guys figured out though, like, how Joel and Kate do Thanksgiving together?
We invite anybody. We eliminated the parents and invite anybody who didn't have a place to go to come over. And then it was just chaos.
Just call it our strays.
Well,
buddy.
You know, you've got this idea of this is the way we do it. This is the way we do it. Oh, now there's a new we that's doing it together.
Yes.
And I think that's part of this.
Yes.
This, oh, I
we
have
created
this
a new
personality.
A new way
I have
of doing
this
it.
Background and, you know, that's one of the things that I love about working with a team is everybody comes in with kind of these expectations and the way we do things. And together we discover, oh, what is the new we? Now, you guys will be coming into a team situation where we've been working together for a longer amount of time. And so things are maybe a little more solid than they were at the beginning. But there will be adjustments as you guys come into the team to try to figure out, well, how do we make this a situation where it's a good thing for everybody.
Well, now that I'm not a 20-year-old ding-dong, I'm not going to blatantly offend people. But yeah, it's just like, just knowing, and like, I think knowing and respecting people and saying, like, finding out what the vibe is before I go in and change it, because it can't be the Kate show. And in my 20s, it was like, look at me, I've got the better idea. Now, like, in my 40s, I'm like, let's see what everybody else is doing. And and we can find a good balance. Like, how can we fit together in this? Like, I will end up bringing my views or ways of doing things into the group. And I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to play Scrabble because I will smash the board. I feel strongly about things. I'm unapologetically think the rules to Scrabble are stupid.
Words are hard.
When it starts being in a cross-cultural situation, I think that's where it becomes more interesting, because we often think, like we talked about before, the way we do stuff together is so shaped by the years and years and years that we've done this stuff together with other people.
Right.
And then we find ourselves being inserted in a culture where they have years and years and years of doing things together differently. And so we just kind of come in, not even realizing it. Well, like Steven said, we don't realize how weird we are. And we're not always ready for how weird they are. So we come into these situations where it's just, man, I am trying to figure out how to be myself in this situation where they're being themselves and ourselves are not merging. So which one of us has to give up? And for us, as the people who are transitioning across cultures, often it's us who has to figure out, so what does it really mean for me to be myself now in this situation that's not forcing them to change too much?
Yeah, because we're going to be the new kids. And so, and that feels uncomfortable, but we're made to adapt.
Yeah. It's gotta be so uncomfortable to learn things that you thought were special about you are probably just because of the way that the culture is around you, right? We're going to learn and also probably unlearn a lot about ourselves through this process. Yeah. You know, for the better, but also, again, that's not always comfortable.
From what you know about Germany, what adaptations do you think you might have to make in order to be seen as acting appropriately?
Stop smiling at strangers.
Yeah, the staring at strangers without saying anything is really interesting. I think it will be hard to not look at people. Some be like, what? Because that's what something I would say now. If someone is staring at me on a train, I'd be like, what? And that's not, I'm not going to do that.
I gotta not get so like threatened when people look at me too long. Yeah.
My algorithm is full of Germans and Berliners making fun of themselves. Like, just, this is what we do. And so a lot of it, the staring and the, you're quiet on Sunday and just the little things of what times the stores are open. I'm going to get so frustrated that things are not available right when I want them.
Our dogs are so bad. Our dogs are going to be such a a nuisance, they're going to, oh my goodness.
We're going to have to sign you guys up for dog training classes.
Yeah. Oh man.
Probably do it now. It's just Juniper. She's just so sweet and bad.
She's just living her authentic, or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Authentic self is kind of hard to say. Yeah, there's a lot of, I don't know, because you, like you said, Berlin is not necessarily Germany. And I shouldn't be saying everyone does this. Can you give me some examples that were strange to you when you were there? Like,
yeah, well, so some things have changed. When we got there, shops closed like on weekdays at 8 p.m. And I'm like, what? Like grocery stores. I'm like, who closes in a major metropolis?
Like a small town.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Like, this is like a village. Why are you closing it at 8? But now a lot of them are open till 10. And so that's better. One of the things that like, it's such a part of American culture to, like, the day after Christmas is a big shopping day. And the day after Christmas here, everything is closed. And it took me like 2 years in a row. I was like, hey, let's go shopping when everything's closed. I'm like, I'm a moron. I cannot deprogram myself from this focus on needing or wanting to go shopping. This is how I fill my day. I think some of the other adjustments for me were, oh goodness, I think the idea of shops being closed on Sundays, not as a religious thing, but as every worker deserves to have a day off. Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the adaptations that was challenging for me was just how, at least in an effort, they worked hard to try to treat other workers well and treat people well. Mm. Without like a spiritual background to it. And I think that was it just shocking to me how often, even being back, I'm finding how poorly, as a country that often says they're Christian, how poorly we treat workers, how poorly we treat people. And so I think sometimes those adaptations were challenging, trying to figure out, well, how do I talk to people about volunteering? I remember in church situations where people, they've been signed up to help for a while, and they call and say, hey, Mike, I just don't think I can this week. It's been a really full week for me. And how the expected response is, hey, that's fine. You take care of you. And how often it bothered me that they had signed up and weren't following through on something that they had committed to. And so I think those were just, that's for me to adapt my mindset and say, no, I mean, this is church, this is volunteering. And of course there are things that we need to do there's a level of sacrifice, but to play on a worship team at the expense of your own feeling of now I'm just overdoing it completely and I don't have any margin left. Who am I to ask that of you? Those are adaptations that I've had to make in some general areas. But walking instead of driving.
Right.
Getting used to being on the schedule of the trams instead of, I'm going to go somewhere now because it's time. I'm ready to go. Needing to be ready when other people are ready.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Here's one. I was told that Germans, I don't know if it's Berliners or not, are very timely. And I am like consistently like 5 minutes late, and that's considered rude.
More of a focus
and so
on punctuality,
I'm working
right?
on that.
It depends on the situation. If you're meeting someone for coffee, if you're going to be 5 minutes late, then to send them a text and say, I'm running late is okay. If I show up 5 minutes early at someone's house who's saying, hey, we're having a dinner party and it starts at 6:00. If I show up at 5:55, then I'm rude for being early. 5 minutes late is probably more the expectation. And so I think there's different rules about that. And if they adjust to the situation.
We've been working on being more on time because we heard it is so rude. And that's probably just a good practice in general too, is show up when you say you're going to.
Mm-hmm.
Like what do you do in Omaha if you're invited over to somebody's house for dinner?
I try to be 5 minutes late. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes later than what the time they stated. Yeah.
And the expectation is often in Minnesota, it's to say, can I bring something? What can I bring?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's one of those like, text them when we're on our way. You still bring flowers or wine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a pretty European expectation. That's German too. If they say no, don't bring anything, just bring yourself, then just still show up with a bottle of wine or with some
flowers. Oh yeah, that's polite. And we always text when we're on our way. And so they know when to expect us and know if we're running late. Yeah, that's just what we do here. And I was curious if it's very different in Berlin and how we can adjust and start practicing now.
I think some of the same general rules apply. Like if you have an interview, then you don't show up 5 minutes late or.
No.
Or like a doctor's appointment, I would assume things like where it is running on a schedule.
When you're supposed to be 15 minutes early. Yeah.
Right. Right. Are there any adaptations that you've been thinking, boy, man, I just don't know that is something I'm unwilling to make?
The only thing that I could think of I'm unwilling to make this adaptation is if it's looking the other way when someone is being harmed on the street. But I don't know the social norms there. But I feel like Joel's really good about stepping in if someone is being harmed or something, like to de-escalate a situation. And I don't know the social norms there. I don't think I could look the other way, though.
So this is different. But you know how they have in a lot of U.S. states, they have like a Good Samaritan's law. If somebody's hurt, you can't be prosecuted if you jump in to help them.
Okay.
Like if you see somebody that's unconscious and you jump in and you perform emergency aid and you start performing CPR and you break their ribs, like there's Good Samaritan laws that say you can't be prosecuted for that. In Germany, you can be prosecuted if you don't help someone. If you see someone unconscious, you are obligated to help. If you see someone get hit by a car, you're obligated to help. If there's an accident, you have to stop. And if you don't, you can be prosecuted. Isn't that interesting?
Because so much of it here is mind your own business. Like that looks like it's a family argument. Don't worry about it.
And I don't know if people would jump in like when somebody's having a discussion, but I think when things
I mean like someone's being harmed.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Like outside of like compromising your like major, I don't know. Like,
your authentic self.
Like core value stuff. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of saying like, I wouldn't do that.
Every time I say I would never do something, my hand is pushed to do that.
I mean, I think there can be some cultural examples, like things where people who really, really enjoy running show up in a culture where it's dangerous for them to run. The streets aren't safe. And they're like, well, no, running is just what I do. And that's one of those cases where you're like, well, you know, here's an adaptation that you really need to make. Or sometimes people will find themselves going into cultures where women are required to wear veils. And sometimes, you know, like a full burqa and mm-hmm. there will be people that will say, you know, that's just not an adaptation that I'm willing to make. I feel like that's oppressive. And so I think those are situations in some cultures where people will say,
sure.
The cost is high if you don't make those adaptations.
One silly one. It's like kind of reverse though. It's like, I'm used to wearing like athletic wear out to the store just day to day. And I felt like in Berlin, that's reserved for working out and not for just your day to day wear. And so I am willing to adapt to that because I don't want to stand out and be like, oh, she's lazy. She's this. Like say I do work out and I run to the store. That's different, but it's not going to be my day-to-day wear anymore. I'm excited to learn. I'm excited for the change and to see what is different, but I don't know what I don't know yet. So I can't tell you I won't do this X, Y, or Z until I find out about it. And I'll probably have a lot of very embarrassing moments where I just want to die.
I have to ask a question on that. Like somebody asked the other day and I felt like I should have been able to say an emphatic no, but I didn't. They go, are you going to have to pick a German name? And I know the answer is no, but I didn't have a no for them. Oh, I was like,
I was going to ask that too.
I thought about this.
Is Kate easy or hard to say in German? Or would it be better to go by Katie?
So either or, I think you can go by Kate. The long, that A sound is is sometimes a little harder for Germans.
Okay.
Another letter that's really hard for Germans is J. Joel. Joel will be challenging.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you might find yourself being called Joel or people that are struggling to figure out how to say it. But I'm picking.
Yeah.
None of the rest of us have picked German names. If you want to, if you want to rebrand, here's your chance.
Nah, I'm fine.
Well, thanks, guys. Again, this is, like I said, one of those fun titles, but it's really a serious topic. The title of Don't Just Be Yourself sounds good, but it is challenging when you start thinking more about, oh man, what are the ways I'm used to interacting with the world, and I'm used to the world interacting with me, and what about that might need to change, and how am I going to discover when me being myself is actually not winning friends and influencing people, but instead it's causing problems, and how do we adjust and adapt?
Are you saying making friends,
drive others away?
Or I was just going to use another reference and say, like, who moved my cheese instead? Yeah. Corporate books. Yeah.
Hey, just go swallow that frog. All those fun things that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, how do I adapt, like instill and like true to my authentic self, but like, so my identity isn't lost in trying to fit in. It's going to be an interesting balance, but I'm excited to have a group of people that are going to walk with me and point stuff out.
Yeah.
And one of the fun things about that is that you do discover along the way, what is that core part of my identity? And often what we have to end up asking ourselves over and over again is why is that so important to me?
Sure.
And sometimes when you're asking that question, you're finding out it's important to me for really bad reasons or unimportant reasons. And the key things are deeper, and I need to get to those. And the rest of these things can flex a little.
Yeah. Love it.
That's cool.
Cool. Guys, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah,
can't wait to see you in a week.
Yeah, we're so excited to see you.
Exciting.
We are ready.
It'll be fun.
Yeah,
all right.
For real. Yeah.
Good. Then we'll sign off.
All right.
And
thanks, Mike. See you next time.
All right. Bye.
Thank you for joining us today on Trax Cultures. If you enjoyed our conversation and want to dive deeper, we invite you to join our community on Discord. It's a space for sharing experiences, asking questions, and connecting with others who are navigating similar journeys. See the link in our show notes to become part of our growing community. Your support means the world to us. And if you'd like to help us continue our work as a creative community looking for the meeting place of faith, art, and culture, consider becoming a patron. Visit patreon.com/envisionberlin to find out how you can contribute. Until next time, keep embracing change and embodying transformative hope for humanity.